I appreciate so much the lessons that Brother Hall and Brother Crozier brought to us this morning. But I would like for you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. I'd like for us to look at a sermon that the prophet Jeremiah gave to the people of his day, Jeremiah chapter 7. I'll be having the materials, the verses on the screen for the most part, but I think it will be easier in some ways to follow your Bibles. You can see the whole picture a little bit better that way. Let's read the first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 7. The text says that the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds and I will let you dwell in this place." First thing I'll just note to you is that the word that Jeremiah spoke was not his word, it was the word of the Lord. And that was the duty of every prophet of God. This message, we're told, is given in the gate of the Lord's house. As people were entering to worship God, Jeremiah was standing there waiting for them. And the message he was telling them to do was to amend their ways. We call this the temple sermon, for the obvious reason that he's in the temple. We're not told exactly when this sermon was delivered within the time frame of Jeremiah's career, but there is another sermon over in Jeremiah chapter 26 that's very similar, that's also given in the Lord's house. In fact, if you would read Jeremiah 26 and compare it to Jeremiah 7, you would see that the same message is given, so much so that most people believe that these are just two different records of the same sermon. The significance of that is, though, that the sermon in Jeremiah 26 is dated for us. There in Jeremiah 26, we're told that that Jeremiah spoke these words at the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. And we are also, if we read a little bit further down in the passage, we see where the reaction of the people to the sermon was a very negative reaction. When Jeremiah got through his preaching, the people, the prophets and the priests and all the people said that Jeremiah must die. Now, if you look at the chart I had given you yesterday morning, which kind of summarizes some of the events and the kings that ruled during the time of Jeremiah, this sermon would have been delivered in the very beginning of Jehoiakim's reign, we're told. It was the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign when the first deportation took place, when Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered the city for the very first time. So the point is that this sermon was given before that first deportation, before Nebuchadnezzar came and subjugated the city. Jeremiah gave this sermon to the people of Israel, the people of Judah, trying to get them to turn back to the Lord. Now the main thought in this passage was there in verse 3, where the passage says, "Amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place." That phrase there that you see highlighted, "let you dwell," is interesting in that the Hebrew original can be translated as it is shown here. This is the ESV translation, and this is typical of most translations. But it could also be translated, "and I will dwell with you." You may recall that in Hebrew written language, they did not have any vowels. They only had consonants. And so words were written without spaces and without vowels. And so a reader, as he was reading the text, would have to know the text well enough to be able to know which consonants go together to form a word, and then also what vowels to insert in order to know what word is being spoken. Both of these two expressions consist of exactly the same consonants. And so it can be translated either way. There is no way for us to know. And the only way to make a judgment about that is just look at the context. Now, these are very related thoughts, where God would say, "I will let you dwell," or where God is saying, "I will dwell with you." But let's think about this for a moment. And let's look at the context with regard to that first alternative. Let's look at it in the sense the way it's normally translated. "I will let you dwell in this place." If you go down to verse 6, Jeremiah begins to give a list of things that they are not to do. If they're to amend their ways, these are the things that they must stop doing. Things like oppressing the stranger and the fathers or the widows. Things like shedding innocent blood or going after other gods or stealing or committing murder or committing adultery or swearing falsely. These were things that Jeremiah says you must stop. Now, if you stop and look at that list, what does it remind you of? Well, it reminds me of the Ten Commandments. And if you kind of compare the two lists, you see that most everything within the Ten Commandments are included within that list that Jeremiah is saying that they would have to do. Now, I don't think that's just happenstance. What was the significance of the Ten Commandments? Well, they were the very words, and the only words, that are said to have been written with the finger of God. They are called the words of the covenant. They summarize the essence of the covenant. And the covenant that God gave to his people is, if you keep my covenant, if you keep these 10 words, then you can remain in the land. And so it makes a lot of sense that Jeremiah would be telling the people, if you will do these things, the Lord will let you live in this land, because isn't that the covenant? So Jeremiah could simply be restating the covenant provisions for the people. Now, before I pass from that, you know, my check marks there may lead you astray and make you think, like some people think, that the Old Testament covenant, the Old Testament laws, were simply external things, and as long as you just checked them off the list, you know, you'd be okay. Well, that wasn't true then. It's not true now. And this passage even speaks to that. In verse 5, Jeremiah says, if you truly amend your ways, and if you truly execute justice. The truly, I think, is suggestive of the heart, right? People have always been required and expected of the Lord to serve him from the heart, not just doing things so we could check it off a list, but rather do things that the Lord would want us to do, and this passage would, I think, support that understanding. So the traditional reading makes sense, but I've skipped over verse 4. These are the words that follow immediately after the verse 3 that has the phrase that we're considering. And in this verse 4, the text says, do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And then now in verse 8, Jeremiah says, behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Now, this seems a little cryptic at first. I mean, why the threefold repetition of this phrase, the temple of the Lord? And what is deceptive about those words? And in what ways were they trusting in these words? I think those are legitimate questions that we would ask of this. First, I think the threefold repetition is simply a matter of emphasis. Just like the Hebrew alphabet or the written language did not have consonants, they didn't have punctuation marks either. So to emphasize something, they just couldn't put an exclamation point at the end like we do. So one way of emphasizing something was to repeat it. Think of the holy, holy, holy of Jeremiah. Think of the amen, amen that Jesus would speak, in the King James anyway. That repetition, it was one way of giving emphasis to the text. But apparently there was something about the temple, there's some message about the temple that was leading the people the wrong direction, that was deceiving the people, and they were putting their trust in this message. And Jeremiah said, do not do that. I think we get a glimpse, if you go on down to verse 9 in the text, I think we can get an idea to something that's going on in their thinking. In verse 9, that's where it says, will you not steal, so forth. And in verse 10, will you then come after doing these bad things, will you then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered? Some translations say, we are safe, which I think gives you a better sense. We are safe only to go on doing all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. For some reason, the people of Judah felt that as long as they could go to the temple, that they were safe. It didn't make any difference what they did, how they acted, but as long as the temple was there in their presence, they were safe. And Jeremiah, though, says that you have, by doing that, or by that sort of thinking, you have made the temple a den of robbers. Now, the term robbers there is a